enter into the throne room of God. And just bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, incomprehensible but prayer-hearing God, known but not beyond knowledge, revealed but unrevealed, my wants and my welfare draw me to thee. For you have never said, seek me in vain. To you I come in my difficulties, my necessities, our distresses. Possess me with your Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of grace and of supplication, with a prayerful attitude of mind, with access into the warmth of fellowship, so that the ordinary concerns of life, our thoughts, our desires might rise to thee, and in habitual devotion, may we find a resource that will soothe our sorrows, sanctify our successes, and qualify us in all ways for dealings with people. I will bless you, for you have made me capable of knowing you, the author of all being, of resembling you, the perfection of all excellency, of enjoying you, and the source of all happiness within you. O God, this morning, attend to us in every part of our pilgrimage. I need the same counsel, the same defense, the same comfort that I found at the beginning of my walk with Christ. May our walk with Christ be more obvious to our consciences, more perceptible to those around us. While Jesus is representing me in heaven, may I reflect him here on earth. While he pleads my case, may I show forth his praise. Continue the gentleness of your goodness toward us. And whether we wake or sleep, may your presence abide with each one of us, and your blessings attend us. You have led us on, and I have found your promises true. There are times I've been sorrowful, but you have been my help. Fearful, but you have delivered me. Despairing, but you have lifted me up. Your vows are ever upon me, and I praise you, O God. This morning I pray, Heavenly Father, that your blessing would be upon each one of these who are in attendance, the songs we sing, the prayer that we pray, the message that we preach. May it not be void, but do its work in all of our lives, for we ask it in the blessed name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Revelation 18. Revelation 18. Way in the back of your Bible. If you have a hard copy, It's the last book in the Bible. If you have an electronic Bible, of which I have both, I pray that you will follow along with me in Revelation 18. And we're going to begin our reading this morning at verse 9. And if you were here last Sunday, we went from Revelation 18, 1 to 8, but we are going to do our very best to finish this up this morning. You will notice, do we have that PowerPoint available? Let's take a moment to see this PowerPoint, and it will give us an overview as to where we've been and where we are. Imagine the timeline that goes left to right. You'll see the cross where Jesus Christ came. We call this the church age or the age of grace. You will notice the first line. We enter the church is taken up in the rapture. But the world that is left behind remains in the tribulation. 7 years of tribulation, that's what we're covering this morning in the 18th chapter. Then you'll see the second coming of Christ, where he comes down to this earth and he sets up his kingdom on earth. As he sets up his kingdom on earth, we call that the millennium. 1,000-year reign with Christ. At the end of that millennium, the adversary Satan is turned loose upon this earth for a short period of time for his last fling. Then he is cast into the lake of fire, which it was prepared for him, new heavens and a new earth. Now, thank you very much. Now, as we keep that in mind, we are in the middle of the tribulation, almost to the end of those 7 years. And in chapter 18, we're going to begin our reading at verse 9 and then try to expound upon it as we go. Verse 9, "And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning." Notice that first verse, the feminine gender her three times. Verse 10, "Standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment," there's the fourth, "saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls and fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet, and every kind of citron wood, every article of ivory, every article made from very costly wood, and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice, incense and perfume and frankincense and wine and olive oil, fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots, slaves and human lives. The fruit you long for has gone from you. And all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you. And men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, Woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, such great wealth has been laid waste. And every shipmaster, every passenger and sailor, and as many as make their living by the sea, stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like the great city?" And they threw dust on their heads, and they were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her." Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. No craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of this earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth." Now, I have to admit, that's quite a mouthful. When you read through that, and let alone try to explain some of that to each of you. As we begin this chapter at verse 9, picking up where we left off last week, Revelation 18, Babylon here is referred to as her, because it is depicted as a symbolic female figure, often referred to in Scripture as Babylon the Great or the Whore of Babylon. Now, this woman represents the world's collective false religious systems, which are seen as having corrupted themselves through the alliance with worldly powers and indulging in excessive luxury and idolatry. Now, this is not speaking regarding a woman, but it is referred to in the feminine gender because she was known as the great whore of Babylon, representing the world's collective false religions, all of their systems, and how they corrupted themselves with all the world powers and indulging in excessive luxury and idolatry. Now, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, you will notice that in verse 10, the phrase "standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment," it is typifying for us so great is the heat and the smoke and the destruction of her burning that these kings must stand at a distance. Now, there are many theologians that think that this may be an indication that nuclear weapons are used in the judgment of commercial centers. Now, if you and I were just to take a moment of reflection, when Israel attacked Iran, that attack was not at random. Those were attacks with specificity to knock out air defense warning systems, endeavoring not to kill people, but to take those air defense systems down. So I'm referring to specificity. When those were taken down, the smoke of her burning could be seen as a symbol of how enemy is taken down throughout this world. Notice that same passage. Woe. Woe. This word woe is the word damn. It's referring to that great city of Babylon, that mighty city that needed to be destroyed. Now again, let me remind you, the church is not here with regarding this prophecy. The church has been taken. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have been removed. There are little instances along the line that give us a little bit of an introspection as to what this destruction is going to do to massive world merchant cities. As a matter of fact, one commentator puts it this way. With a touch of grim humor, he writes them as standing at a safe distance from the conflagration. Now, it's a big word. Conflagration is a word that represents an extensive fire that's destroying a great deal of land and property. So this commentator uses the word conflagration and contending themselves with idle lamentations. In other words, they are seeing all of these great, magnificent cities of luxury going up in smoke, and they're standing at a distance going, what happened? Feeling the heat from that distance at themselves, saying what they're saying. Notice in verse 10. Notice the phrase, in 1 hour. Revelation 18:10. It refers to the sudden and the swift judgment that befalls the city of Babylon, symbolizing the destruction of a powerful and wealthy cities. This 1 hour signifies that judgment comes quickly, swiftly, without warning, unexpectedly, catching the city's inhabitants and those who benefited from its commerce by surprise. That's chapter 18 of Revelation. Now, if you want to take a little journey with me, go to the book of Daniel. I want to show you a correlation prophetically right along the same phrase in 1 hour that transpired in Daniel chapter 5. Great ball and feast is going on. Verse 24 and 25, Then the hand that was sent from God and his inscription was written out. Verse 25. Now this is the inscription that was written out. Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, which is Chaldean. This is the interpretation of the message. This is not my interpretation. The Bible is interpreting itself. Many, God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. See that in 26? Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. And Perez, which is an abbreviation of the word Upharsin, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians. This is under Daniel. Now look at 30. That same night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. There's the 1 hour. In an instant, this is Darius, that Babylon was destroyed that night by God's own hand. Now, back to Revelation 18. And I just want to show you how the Old Testament prophesied that which was to come in the New Testament. I want you to notice all of the regrets of the merchants found in verse 11 of 18 all the way to 17. Now, I've already read this once, but I want to point out just a couple things to you to keep in mind as we go through here. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargo anymore. That's like all of the ports of the world stopped. No more cargo. No more luxuries. No more food is going through their ports. Now, 12 gives us gold, silver, precious stones, and I've already read that all the way down to 14. Cargoes of horses and chariots, slaves, and human lives. The fruit you long for has gone from you. And all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. Is that not judgment? Revelation 18. Imagine you and I without electricity for a week. No generators, no gasoline, no refrigerators. Whatever food you have is it. It's done. Here in 18, he is depicting her as a symbolic female figure, often called Babylon the Great throughout all scripture. Now let's look a little more carefully at this. The merchandise of gold and silver. This kind of fascinates me. You want to stiffen up your investments, they say, buy gold, buy silver. This long list needs little explanation. If the church is gone, you and I don't worry about this. Now, if the church is still on earth, we have to worry about this. Okay? I'm not going to be here, so you can have whatever I have, and which isn't much. But I want you to notice this long list. And except to note, these are all luxuries, not necessarily necessities. It's plain that the grieving, languishing, and moaning is rooted in self-interest. For no one buys their merchandise anymore. Can you imagine what that will be like? I mean, if the stock market is down 10 points, we all run to the computer and see where your 401 is. I never have to do that. I don't have a 401. I got a 4-0. John Wolver, the commentator, puts it this way. The combined picture is one of complete abandonment to the wealth of this world and complete disregard of the God who gave it. Complete disregard for him. Notice the phrase, slaves in human lives. The prophet of commercial Babylon have come through cruel using of others. They sold the bodies and the souls of men and women. Now, this idea has many applications, but nonetheless, than today's widespread of human trafficking, prostitution, and pornography. What are they saying? Some 300,000 unaccompanied children have come through our southern borders over the last 4 or 5 years? I mean, I'm almost wondering, how can I believe that? Where are they? What's going on? How are they being used? How are they being misabused? And we're not even in the tribulation. But we're up here and we are so insulated. Have you anyone been reading the newspaper, how our own sheriff's department is not cooperating with the state of California as a sanctuary state? Sheriff Redman hauling the illegals, not going along with the with our governor. And by the way, just 2 weeks ago, they made it right so that I can say these kind of things now. All right? before, I had to kind of withhold, but now they won't come after me, and I'm delighted. Notice a little further here, just as we come down to 17, without going into all of that, men shall find them no more at all. Those who lived by the luxuries of commercial Babylon, this whole system will be tormented by the eternal absence of those luxuries all the more. Now, I know none of us have those kind of luxuries, but can you imagine Bel Air, Brentwood, California, the Hamptons? Those luxuries are no more. You shall find them no more at all. And ultimately, hell will be a place of unfulfilled desires. Desirings that cannot be fulfilled. Look at 17, chapter 18, verse 17. And I'm skipping through this pretty quickly, as some of you can tell. In 17, every shipmaster, every passenger and sailor, and as many as make their living by the sea, stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like that great city? All the luxuries are gone. No more gasoline, no more oil, no more rare earth, no more Tesla, no more lithium batteries. It ceases. Woe, woe, that great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour, she was laid waste." Again, little comment needs to be made on this, other than to notice that their sorrow at commercial Babylon's fall is selfish. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings this morning. I'm just trying to give to you what the Word of God has prophesied in the future. But everyone likes to have enough, don't we? And how much is enough? How much? I used to know a fellow in Florida. When I would say this, how much is enough? He would say, another million. Another. He would say over and over, there's never enough. Look at verse 20. 18 verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven. And you saints. Now, did you see the shift? From condemnation, from woe, to rejoice. I mean, that's got to strike you this morning. From damnation to joyfulness. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. Well, what is that referring to? Rejoice over her. Honestly, should God's people rejoice when judgment comes? Just a question. It's a question that I ask. I want to answer it yes. But we don't rejoice in the destruction in judgment. Rather, we rejoice in the righteous resolution God's judgment brings. We rejoice in the righteous resolution that God's judgment brings. And verse 21, this is commercial Babylon's sound of death. Verse 21. Then a strong angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. A mighty angel takes up a stone, so to speak, like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea. Now, this is reminiscent of Jeremiah's instruction. And if you would turn with me to Jeremiah 51, an Old Testament prophet, I want you to see something fascinating. In Jeremiah 51, beginning our reading at 61, an angel here graphically shows Babylon's fall. In 18, verse 21, and Jeremiah 51, 61. Then Jeremiah said, Seraiah, as soon as you come to Babylon, then see that you read all those words aloud, and say, you, O Lord, have promised concerning this place to cut it off so that there will be nothing dwelling in it, whether man or beast, but it will be a perpetual desolation. And as soon as you finish reading this scroll, you will tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the Euphrates and say, just so shall Babylon sink down and not rise up again because of the calamity that I'm going to bring upon her, and they will become exhausted. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Now, the scripture also reminds us of what Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 6. But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Do you see a relationship here? This applies to Babylon in Revelation 18 because she led others into sin. And it's a terrible thing to sin unto yourself. It's even more terrible to lead others into sin. Do you see the point? Babylon, the world system, led others into all the luxuries of sinfulness and disbelief and idolatry. The great city of Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. So someday this world system is going to pass away. Like a great stone falls to the bottom of the sea. Will this fall hurt us? See, that's a natural question. Am I going to be a part of that? Would we be a part of that? And as I stated earlier, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord will be raptured, snatched out at the pre-tribulation event. We will not be here. Today we will only be hurt to the extent that we invest ourselves in the mentality of commercial Babylon's materialism and worldliness. How so? Be careful, what are your luxuries? Church, be careful, what are our luxuries? We will not be hurt by this. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus will be taken out. But are we a part of the world system? Is that what we are looking unto? Is that our salvation? Are our 401ks our salvation? Are we looking unto Christ to control even our 401ks? I hope so. Because if it's up to man, we're going to mess it up. By the way, just a little politics, you don't mind? We are heading towards a cashless society. Congress right now, on the floor, they are debating digitizing the dollars. Whether you will carry any dollars or not is in the very, very, very near future. So those of us who are wristing computers, better get with it if we're still here, because no more dollars. That's coming very soon. Check me out, okay? Even this afternoon, I was checking the news this morning. Some people are very upset about this, all because of the Federal Reserve and the central banking system is doing their very best to take away cash so that you cannot beat the tax system. All this under the table stuff, gone when it's cashless. Now, when this comes into full view, I'm not going to be here, but I think this is telling me that maybe the Lord's coming sooner than I think. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I was looking at John MacArthur, and he's looking up into heaven. His faith became sight. No longer faithfulness in looking towards something. He's now in it, in the middle of it. And we're going to wrap this up. He says, they shall not be heard any longer. They will not be found anymore. They shall not be heard in you anymore. And shall not shine in you anymore. You know, this is graphic, poetic language that the writer of Revelation, John, describes how the industry and all of the commerce of Babylon will come to an end. Now, I have to admit, that's hard to conceive. But watch this. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. Look at 22 of 18. And we're wrapping this up now, so I'll just bring it to a close. And the sound of harpists and musicians, flute players, trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer, and no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer, and the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. The light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. I was checking these words in the original language, the Greek. And the sorcery, the Greek word for sorcery is pharmakeia. Now, I want you to just read that verse with me, the end of verse 23. Because all the nations were deceived by your pharmakeia, by your sorcery. And the word sorcery is placed there because we best understand that drugs are deceptive. And pharmakeia means to prepare drugs. Now, the lure of commercial Babylon is like drug addiction. How much is enough? How much gold is enough? How much silver is enough? The luxuries of man have been deceived by this drug addiction of the flesh, fed by deceptive advertising. Anyone here of the drug, you don't have to raise your hand. Abocaine? Not cocaine, Abocaine. It's derived from a root in Africa, and it's being used and tested in the state of Texas with $5 million to see its effect upon curing those with PTSD. And what this ibocaine is a psychedelic drug, like the mushrooms. Now, if you read with me verse 23, as a matter of fact, 21, 22, 23, and then add at the end of that sentence, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery, by pharmakeia, by drugs, by the deceptiveness of the drug addiction to the luxuries of commercial life. Verse 24, the last. the ultimate reason for commercial Babylon's judgment. Notice, she has killed the prophets and the saints. Now, you know, I don't know how you read this, but as I study this, I'm asking questions all along the way. What does he mean by this? How can that be applied to this context? Does it relate to me? Can it relate to us? I want you to notice 24 again. Keep this in your mind. Soon as he says in 23, because the nations were deceived by your sorcery. Verse 24, and in her, that is the system of Babylon, was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. Now, Mr. Daly was talking about those martyrs of the 16th century and the hideousness of martyrdom all over the world. Notice what he just said there. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. The blood of prophets and saints and all who were slain on the earth, to this extent of this charge, is an indication that this great city is symbolic, commercial, world system at large. It's not a woman. It's not one city. It's the commercial world system at large. There is no one literal city that's responsible for all who were slain on the earth. But it was the world system. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints. You see, God takes the persecution of his people as a personal offense. Those who attack his people really attack him. Now, during the tribulation period of time, there will be many that will come to faith in Jesus Christ. So what he is saying is, at the end of that tribulation, in this commercial world system at large, in her, she is responsible for all who are slain on this earth. And if God's people who are attacked really attack him, then God's going to have recompense. So do not take this casually. As we close our study of the book of Revelation this morning, let's not take it casually. This is prophetic. God's judgment is coming upon this earth. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now is a good time to repent. Turn from your sin and follow him. And receive Christ, his substitutional sacrifice upon the cross, in your behalf, and receive him as Lord and Savior. It's my prayer that each one of us have done just that. And that will conclude all of our study in Revelation for right now. Bow with me in prayer. Precious Lord, it has been such an honor to trek through Revelation 1 all the way to 22. To some extent, it's been thrilling. To the other end of that extreme, it's horrifying. That's why my prayer this morning is that each one of us under the sound of my voice, not take this casually. If we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there is nothing to fear. But if we have not, judgment awaits. Please take these words, magnify them, encourage us, and as you, chapter 1 of Revelation, please bless us for studying it, and bless us for doing our very best for heeding it. And we'll ask your blessing upon this time together, for it's in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit we pray these things. And all God's people said, Amen.